This is Betty Abramson. Tonight I'm conducting an interview for the Family History Project, the Jewish Community Center, with Mr. Merle D. Klein. Merle, would you please give your name, your address, and phone number, if you please?
My name is Merle D. Klein, K-L-E-I-N. My address is 5100 Brownsboro Road, apartment 534. My telephone number is 426-8454.
Merle, would you please give me some information of your family, your mother's name, your father's name?
My father's name was Frank Leon Klein, and my mother's name is Ida Natovsky Klein, K-L-E-I-N.
Where were they born, in Louisville?
My mother was born in Louisville. My father was born in Russia.
Okay, do you know why your father came to the United States and why your mother's parents may have come to the United States?
My mother's parents came to Louisville in 1859. My father's parents came in later in the 80s to this country from Russia. My mother's parents came to Louisville in 1859 and joined Edith DeShuren Congregation, which in those days was known as the Green Street Shul, located on Green Street, now Liberty Street, in Louisville. They were among the oldest Jews to become members of that congregation, and my family still is a member of Edith DeShuren Congregation all these years.
What was the name of Green Street? Was it as called as the Sherman then?
It was called a Green Street Shul.
Yeah. How come they settled in Louisville, Merle?
The reason both sides of my family settled in Louisville is that they knew people from Russia who had already come to Louisville and told them what a good town Louisville was, so they came direct from New York, direct to Louisville to live here all the years of their lives.
And when were you born, if you don't mind my telling you, and where?
I was born June 11th, 1905. I'm 85 years old. My father was in business in Indianola, Mississippi, and when my mother became pregnant, she came back to Louisville, to her hometown. I was born here at the Jewish Hospital in Louisville on Floyd and Kentucky Street.
Merle, were your grandparents, did they live close by? Did you have aunts and uncles in the household when you were little?
No. When we first moved to Louisville from Mississippi in 1912, we lived at 944 South Brook Street in a home which my father bought. He went into the wholesale jewelry business at that time. And we lived on Brook Street until we moved back to Helena, Arkansas, and moved back to Louisville after I graduated high school from Helena, Arkansas in 1917. From that time on, I've been a native Louisvillian and have been here all the rest of my life.
Where did you live when you came back from Arkansas?
We lived on Brook Street, as I told you. But my memory goes back that when we lived in Mississippi and came to Louisville during the summer, I remembered the YMHA on 1st and Walnut, where all the Jewish people used to go to take their baths, as the people who lived on Market Street between 1st and Floyd did not have bathing facilities in their home, and on Friday before the Sabbath, they went over to the YMHA and took a bath.
That's really great. Did they live close enough?
The YMHA was at 1st and Walnut, and all the Jewish people lived on Market Street, so it was only four or five blocks to walk. It wasn't difficult to get over to the YMHA. When I left, during the summertime, when we came from Mississippi to Louisville, we stayed with my grandparents on Market Street at 128 East Market Street, which is on the third floor above a shoe store owned by Mr. Weinberg. On those two blocks on Market Street, 99% of the streets were occupied by Jewish merchants, and they constituted the people who lived there. Having no banks at that time, there was a gentleman named Mr. S. Hyman who ran a junk store on Market Street between First and Brook, and all the Jewish people in that time gave him their money, and he deposited same with the German-American Bank at Second and Market. When they needed money, they went to Mr. Hyman, and he wrote out a check on his personal account and gave them the money because they had utter faith in him in keeping their money. He must have had 50 people who lived on Mark Street taking care of their finances. My memories in those days was Tostine's Delicatessen at First and Market, where everybody who wanted a sandwich or corned beef or hot pastrami sandwich used to trade with Mr. Tostine. And he was the one, he cut the meat, he served the sandwiches, and he was the only one in the store. And all the Jewish people who lived on Market Street traded in his place of business. One other thing about the people who lived on Market Street at that time did not have toilet facilities in their buildings. All the toilet facilities were on the outside of the stores, and everybody used to use those facilities because that was all they had at that time in those days.
In the backyard, I hope.
It was all in the backyard. Priest, that all the Jewish people was Fliegel's Bakery at Floyd and Market Street, and they used to get the Friday night challah up there at Fliegel's Bakery, and all the Jewish women used to go up there and buy their bread from this bakery. And also, the meat market was run by Harry Klamer, whose nickname was Yudke. And he and his brother and his sister ran this Jewish meat market on Market Street between Floyd and Preston. 305 East Market is the correct address. And they served all the people who kept kosher in Louisville. Even in the later years, they delivered meat by wagon early in the morning so that the meat would not spoil for the dinner time when the folks would need it. And they served the entire city of Louisville for kosher meats.
What year are we talking about?
The span of years that I'm talking about now runs from around 1910 to about 1916.
Do you remember any prices of any items at that time?
Everything was cheap because the Jewish people at that time didn't have much money, and they spent it wisely. In the evenings in the summertime, when it was real hot, everybody would sit out on the sidewalk and swing back and forth in chairs. And that's where the coffee clutches used to be, on the sidewalk in the evening during the summer times. And along every street between First and Floyd Street were nothing but Jewish people sitting there talking about the events of the day.
Anything about a family doctor of yours?
My grandma's doctor was a man named Dr. Leon L. Solomon, who was her doctor, and he used to come and visit her because she was on the third floor, and he was one of the first Jewish doctors here in the city of Louisville, and he treated all of the people on Market Street between First and Floyd, which is in my memory. Dr. Solomon was their god. My mother had one brother, Sol Natovsky, who worked for Lion Lang and Goldstein and sold ladies' skirts. My father had two brothers here in town, lived here. One was Sam Klein, who owned Klein Furnishing Goods Company, and my other uncle, Uncle Meyer, was in business in Greenwood, Mississippi, in the mercantile business. I'm all the boys and all the girls of our family, the only one.
You are an only child.
That's right. So, I moved back to Louisville in 1912, and then my father had the opportunity to go into mercantile business in Helena, Arkansas, where I spent my early youth and graduated from high school in 1921. We then moved back to Louisville in that year, and after my high school graduation, I went to Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia, where I completed my undergraduate work and got a degree. However, during the years where we lived in the summertime and I came here, I played baseball in the YMHA League at 9th and Central in the old colored high school park behind the high school building. And I played baseball down there for 8 or 10 years with all of the fellows who were at my age at that time in the league, which we had.
You remember any of the names?
Well, the fellows who played with me at that time were Harry Klein, my cousin, Abe Stryker, Dr. Silas Starr, Dr. Goodman, who at that time was the oldest man in our league. He was in his 40s. He would practice medicine all day and then and all night and then come down and be a catcher on our baseball team and play with all these young boys. Well, the baseball that I played was started in 1920 when I first came back to Louisville. Then when I went off to college, I would only play in the summertime. However, the baseball games, the league which I played, started in 1926, which I was living in Louisville that time after graduated from college, and I played until 1931.
When you were back here at that time, were you in the YMHA a lot during the summer?
Yeah, well, we went over to the YMHA to play in our league. We had to be paid-up members. We had to pay $15 dues a year to play baseball and also to play basketball at that time because there were no free memberships allowed for the athletes who represented the YMHA and intramural leagues here in town. A cute story to tell you about the YMHA in the early days at 2nd and Jacob. When it was at 2nd and Jacob, there was a candy case on the bar, and it used to be open until one of our Louisville citizens, a fellow by the name of Victor Mature, who later became one of the biggest actors in the studios at that time, and he came in and he was caught one day taking two bars of candy out of the candy case for nothing, and after that they locked the candy case up. But he lived over on Camp Street, and he would always come over to the center and take candy from the candy case. And in 1919, the YMHA bought the land out on River Road for a camp, and my daddy built a cottage out there where we lived during the summer. It was quite a place, and it was a place where all the Jewish people congregated during the week, and especially on Sunday when they had meals in the main dining room. At that time, there was about 12 cottages were built, and people lived there during the summertime. In the wintertime, it was closed and isolated. But the YMHA had picnics at that time out there and swimming parties, and everybody really enjoyed the old YMHA camp up on the river. I learned to swim across the river at that time, and it was quite a feat being there.
How far would it be across the river?
Well, it was at least a mile across the river and back, so in those days I could do it, but not today.
Well, tell me, how did you get out? You said you lived out there in the summer.
Summertime.
Did your father commute back and forth?
Well, we had an old Ford, and he used to ride back and forth. We had one of the old tin Lizzies, and my daddy would use that to drive in town, and at the end of the day he would come back out there, and all his pals were living out there, so he had a good time, and I had a good time with the boys and the girls there.
Tell me about the girls. Was a lot of
dances, and then we had plays out there, which I remember my mother was part of did an act out there at that time. All the members of the Cape used to become participants in the plays and the picnics that they had out there. It was quite a social place.
Do you remember the names of any of the people that?
The people who owned cottages out there was Julius Kaplan, Emil Artner, Rosenbergs. I remember. Also at the cottage out there, my father-in-law, Mose Marks, had a cottage out there, and that's where I met my wife. And we had dates, and we went dancing at the... My wife Toby's family consisted of my father-in-law, Mose Marks, and my mother-in-law, Pearl Marks. She had one brother, Herbert, who married Till Marcus, who was a native Louisvillian who had come back from Cleveland, and they lived here until both of their deaths.
Where did Mr. and Mrs. Marks come from? Were they born?
They both were born in Russia.
Oh, do you have any idea where?
No, I haven't any idea.
What, do you know why they came to Louisville to settle?
My in-laws came to Louisville because they had family here at the time, and they came together to be together here in Louisville when they moved from Russia. Married them.
When did you and Toby meet? About what year?
We met about in 1920. I knew Toby from way back in the YMHA Cape from 1920 when we were out there. But during the time that I was in college, I had no contact with her. It was only after I graduated from college, and she was going with a fella, and I bet him a dollar I could make a date with her, and I made the date, and finally I wound up marrying her. I was one of the original members of the Troop 30, which was a Boy Scout movement. It started at the YMHA. I remember in the early summer, when I was younger, we went out to the covered bridge at the Boy Scout camp. All the members of the Troop 30 went there, and our scout leader was Oscar Liebson. I remember one particular instance, somebody put salt in his bed, and he accused every one of our members of the troop as to who did it, but he never could find out. But we loved him just the same, and he was quite a gentleman and a good scout leader. When we moved back to Louisville in 1912 from Mississippi, I attended the Louisville Hebrew School at Brook and Walnut Streets. I finished my Jewish education there and was bar mitzvah at the old Benny Yankiv Shul at Preston and Jefferson, where my grandfather, my father's daddy, was president of the shul, and I said my mafter there. That was the time that I began to get my Jewish learning, which I kept up for the rest of my life and have up until today.
Do you remember the rabbi at that time?
The rabbi at that time was a man named Rabbi A.L. Zarchy, Z-A-R-C-H-Y. And he was a rabbi of Benny Yankiv Shul. The other rabbis in town were Rabbi Moses over at Adith Israel. I was bar mitzvah at the old Benny Yankiv Shul, and as usual wore high pants, high knee pants when I had my picture taken, in which my family trellix has up today.
Do you remember any of the boys that were in your class at Hebrew School?
The same gang who were played basketball with me were all my buddies at that time. Harry Klein, Stanley Garfine, Nathan Handmaker, Milton Handmaker, Herman Handmaker, Handmaker, Joe Garfine. We all were together at that time, and we later became friends, which lasted over 50 years for all of us.
Some of the customs when you were little.
The customs in our family on the Friday night was benching lift and saying and before we ate, everybody made a bruchy, and we benched over wine. Just like most of the Jews who lived on Market Street were Orthodox Jews who came from Russia, and they all had the same customs. On Friday night, everybody celebrated the Sabbath.
Did everybody basically go to shul then the next day?
Well, those who weren't in business went to shul, but those on Market Street, they had to make a living. They stayed open, from the dry goods merchants to the furniture merchants. My father's family, my grandmother and grandfather on my father's side, emigrated to Israel in 1923, and they died in Israel, where they're buried as of today. My grandfather on my mother's side died right after I was born in 1905, and my grandmother died in 1919 during the flu when I was in college and I came home for the funeral.
What made your father's parents go to Israel at that time, Earl?
Well, because they wanted to go back to the old country and live. They liked the customs of Jews living in Israel, so they decided to go back here and live out the rest of their lives, which they did. They died in 1926.
Did they have family that lived in Israel?
No, they were there, but they had no family. They just decided to go, and they picked up and left.
That sounds so very unusual. Did your parents ever go over to visit them? Did your father ever go over to visit them in Israel?
My cousin Harry Klein went over and visited their graves in the early 70s, and we found the graves on a high mountaintop. And we erected a monument for over their grave, which they still have today. Got a medal. I still got it here from the French Army.
In World War I, you sold bonds?
Yeah, we were 13. We worked. And during the During World War I, when I was 13 years old, we worked selling war bonds. As a result, they had a big shindig out at Central Park, out on 4th Street, and all of the Jewish boys who worked were given medals by the French government at that day, where they had a big celebration and event for the selling of war bonds in this country. When I graduated from high school in Helena, Arkansas in 1921, there were 3 boys and 9 girls in our class. There were 2 scholarships, and one of the boys went to Rice University in Houston, Texas, and I took the Washington and Lee scholarship. It was $80 a year at that time. And nobody in my family had ever gone to college. And my uncle, who was in Greenwood, Mississippi, in the mercantile business, he sent me 2 suits of clothes so I would have some clothes to wear up there. And I'll tell you, I spent 4 years up there, which were 4 of the better years of my life in my younger days of Washington and Lee. And I came out of there, I thought was pretty good after graduating with a business degree.
Do you maintain any friendships that go back to
you? I have lots of friends and boys. Especially, I joined the Jewish fraternity there, the Zeta Beta Tau, and the fellows who, at my age today, quite a few of them have passed away, but there's a few of us, and the Martin Spector from Florida and myself, we're very good friends today. And my 50th anniversary, when Toby and I went up there in 1975, having graduated in 1925, in 1975, Toby and I went back to Lexington, Virginia to attend my 50th anniversary of graduation. And I met a professor there who was there, and I walked in to see, I had not seen him since I graduated, and he says, "Hello, Lefty." After all these years, 50 years, he remembered my nickname. And he said to me, "You know, the only class you ever got a C in was my French class, but you're a good boy, and I gave you a C because I liked you." I still am very active in the Washington and Lee Alumni Association here in town, which we have about 400 members who have graduated from the school who live here in the Louisville area. A year after I graduated from college, I took a job working at the YMHA as a business agent for the Chronicler, which was the monthly magazine that the YMHA put out at that time. And I used to go out and solicit ads for them and be the general flunky around the YMHA. I stayed there from September of 1925 until March of 1st, 1926, which I went in the insurance business, and still am in it after 63 years, and I'm still selling insurance for a living.
This is when you became active, when you were back in Louisville, in the YMHA, as far as your athletics, correct?
When I graduated from college and worked at the YMHA in the fall of 1925, I went out for the basketball team and played from 1926 through 1931, 6 years in the Major Fall City League as a center. I was 5'11", and weighed 123 pounds. And jump center. In those days, as a quirk, we had to go back and jump center after every basketball basket.
Now, the YMHA was in a league.
The YMHA was in the fastest league here in the community. In 1928, we won 19 and didn't lose any games, and we went to Philadelphia and played in the National YMHA tournament. However, we did not win it.
Do you remember any of the fellows who were on the team with you?
Remember them all.
Tell me
the
about
the fellows who were on the team with me. Was our coach was Pochy Marks, Harry Klein, Joe Garfine, Gus Marglin, Red Marglin, Sammy Hanmaker, Omera White, Dave Brownstein. In those days, we played colleges like University of Michigan and U of L because they weren't in any league at that time. In my days when I played, we played U of L 3 times during the 6 years that I played. We beat them all 3 times, badly.
Did you get to travel when you played University of Michigan, or did they come
no,
here?
No, that was before my time. The year before I started, the YMHA played the University of Michigan. Julius Joseph and this bunch were still playing at that time, and they quit, and then the younger group came in, which was my gang.
How long did you play basketball?
I played basketball for the center, for the YMHA for 6 years. Then I got married in 1931. And I figured I'd better stay with my wife instead of playing basketball.
What date did y'all get married? What's your wedding day?
We got married on March the 22nd, 1931. It will be 60 years this coming March, 1991, for us, Lord willing.
And you and Toby have children?
We have two girls, Frankie and Arlene. They both are married. Frankie is married to Harold Gordon, and Arlene is married to Harvey Kaufman. Each of those two have two children, and we have two great-grandchildren as a result of our grandson, Doug Gordon, who's married to Karen Fisher, and all our and our family live here in Louisville.
Do you know, were most of them born in Louisville? Most of your son-in-laws, were they born in Louisville?
Yeah. All my family were born here in Louisville.
So how many generations does that make to be born in Louisville?
Well, the generations will go back as far as me, as myself, my daughters, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren all were born here in Louisville. And all of them, even the little one, 3 years old, he likes the shul, Addis Ashuren.
And you belong to Addis Ashuren, right?
I belong to four congregations here in town, but Addis Ashuren is my main one, having been a president there in 1938 when I was 33 years old. When Toby and I got married at the Kentucky Hotel in 1931, we had five rabbis there, Rabbi Gittleman, Rabbi Mendelbaum, Rabbi Zarchi, rabbis, one from Antioch Sephardic Congregation, and the other one from the Green Street Shul at 11th and Jefferson. The first board of directors that I went on was in 1927 at the Jewish Hospital, which today I am a life member. Then I became active in our Jewish congregation, the Addis Ashuren congregation, in 1931 when my father passed away and I went there for Yahrzeit. As a result of that, being on that board, in 1938 at the age of 33, I became the president of the congregation. In 1934, the first year the United Jewish Campaign became effective in Louisville as a result of Colonel Fred Levy and Charles W. Morris, I took cards and worked on them, and I am the only Jewish person in Louisville who has worked on every campaign since 1934, and it's 1991 today. I also was on the U of L Athletic Association, the National Conference of Christians and Jews, the Standard Club, which I became a member in 1937. I've been on their board of directors.
Tell me about YMHA. Were you ever on their board of directors?
I was on the YMHA board, too, and I got many honors, being Man of the Year and Bond Salesman of the Year and a lot of other things that are too numerous to mention.
What do you remember say about the YMHA? Was much of your social life, did it revolve around the HA?
Well, in the early days, the social life with all of it was the only place the Jewish people could go, was there, especially during the war when they had all the soldiers would come in and stay there, and the young girls would have dances there every Saturday night for the soldiers.
World War I, World War II.
World War II. And they upstairs in the gym, they would put beds and the boys would sleep up there so they wouldn't have to pay money to go to hotels. And they had the brunches in the morning. On Sunday morning, downstairs in the basement, there's lots of women who worked as volunteers, including my mother, who was quite an active person there, as well as my mother-in-law. And they would furnish the boys with a good, hearty breakfast. And especially a lot of the non-boys soldiers who came there were non-Jewish boys. And after the war, many of them remembered that how wonderful they were treated in Louisville by the Jewish people. And they sent letters and money to the YMHA. Louisville, to be a good person, you have to belong to a different organization. You go from the Mizrahi up to the Mizrahi down. Any woman who belongs in Louisville belongs to 8 women's organizations besides the congregations that the husbands belong to. If you're of the Orthodox faith, you go to the Mizrahi, the Hadassah, etc. If you belong to the Temple, you belong to the Jewish Council of Jewish Women and the other affiliate organizations. But Louisville, in my opinion, has the best women's record of people who belong to different organizations here and who give the greatest amount of money in proportion of any city in the United States as a result of the women's organizations in the United Jewish Campaign. In 1970, I also was been on the board of the Jewish Community Federation. In 1970, I was president for 3 years, having been chairman of the UJC drive twice in my life, once in 44 and once in 75.
Thank you. Anybody particularly in Louisville, any men or women that were your role models?
One of my role models was Charles W. Morris, an attorney, who was a partner of another lawyer here in town, a boy named Frank Garlove, whom we were kids in Mississippi, and who helped put me in business with my partner, Bob Apple. Charlie Morris was a man who started the Jewish Community Federation here in town and got all three of the different sects, the Orthodox, the Reformed, and the Conservative Jews, all to come together, and that's the formation in 34. And that's when he started the Jewish Community Federation. His main theme was, don't argue, everybody be together, have kosher meals, and raise money for the Jewish organizations.
What, do you have any special memories about the flood now? Tell me about some of them.
In 1937, during the flood, our office was in the Starks building, so we moved it over on 7th Street in a building that my Uncle Harry Marks owned, and we operated our insurance agency there. I worked for Father up at St. Francis of Rome. I carried supplies for him and worked up there for the whole time during the flood. It was quite an event. There was everybody was riding in boats, and everybody was worrying about the whole city being flooded. But after the Brown Hotel at 4th and Broadway got 6 feet of flood, and that has kind of slowed down, and then the town started coming back normal. But during those years, everybody worked together, and we had to take supplies and medical supplies all over town, and I worked up at St. Francis of Rome. I was very familiar up there, having played basketball for the YMHA up there, and I knew the father and all the boys up there, so I was right at home.
You like sports pretty well, don't you, Merle?
Yeah. The man who created the Jewish Community Center to where it is today, out there, Lane, was a man by the name of Sidney Apple. He was the brains behind it. He was president of the center, and notwithstanding all the other presidents, everything, that was in his mind to build a new building because the one at 2nd and Jacob was getting old and getting too small. Ben Washer, attorney who was a benefactor of the YMHA, offered them a piece of property at 5th and Kentucky. And after looking it over, it was decided it was too small. Then a committee with Abe Berman and Sidney Apple and Joe Kaplan and several others, they went out and selected a site out on Dutchman's Lane, which was unoccupied at that time, and they decided along with the other fellows who were on the building committees to put it up out there, because most 90% of the Jewish people at that time lived in the East End, and it made it more accessible to go to this new building, which would be on Dutchman's Lane, than to be at 5th and Kentucky and have to go all the way downtown.
Do you remember anything about raising the money for the new
We center? All worked on the campaign to raise the money, and we did it without any difficulty. and the building was built. Then later, in the later years, we just completed the other $5 million addition, which I also worked on for them. And we have one of the outstanding Jewish community centers in the United States today. I hate to mention this, but I have two daughters who have been president out there.
Really? Tell me about your daughters who are president.
My oldest daughter, Frankie Garden, became the first woman president about 4 or 5 years ago, and she's been a constant worker out there, also helping them with their bingos on Thursday night. She's in her 8th year as head of the bingos. At the present time, my younger daughter, Miss Arlene Kaufman, is now president out there, and in my opinion, the Jewish Community Center is becoming quite an attraction here in the community, doing things that have never been done before and creating quite an interest for all the people, and people are really loving going out there.
Well, during the flood, where did you live, you and Toby? Tell me about the places that you and Toby have lived since you married.
In 1931, when Toby and I got married, we lived in an apartment, in a Douglas apartment on the 3rd floor. We lived there for about 3 or 4 years. We then moved over on Douglas further down the 1800 block where we lived. My mother came to live with us. And we lived on the 2nd floor of a dwelling on that street. Then later, we bought a house on Eastern Parkway where we lived for about 8 years. And then I bought a house over on Woodford Place where we lived after my mother passed away. We lived there until 1980, where we moved out here to the condo at Glenview.
Many of your neighbors were there many people who lived around you at these various places that you became friends with?
It's ironical to say that any Jewish person who lived in the east end of Louisville had friends who lived approximately close by and within driving distance. Distance wasn't a factor as far as friendship was concerned in the city of Louisville if you were Jewish and lived in the east end. The people who lived in the west end start to migrate up to the east end, if I may use that word, migrate. And as a result, today, I would say 99% of the Jewish people live in the east end of Louisville or its vicinities.
I don't want to put you on a spot, but could you tell me something about your friends and you and Toby and your friends that have been lifelong friends that you're close to?
My lifelong friends, most was Nathan Handmaker, who passed away, Red Garfine, who was friendly with me, Harry Coyne, who was athletic director at the center, Harry Linker. Today, our friends, all of us, we live in the condo, and all my friends live here, the Garens, the Ziegers, etc. We all get together, Dr. Ringo, my dentist, we all live here. And as I stated before, distance is not a factor as far as friendship here in Louisville. We all are close to the Jewish Community Center, and if you don't go there, you go to your synagogues, and that's the story.
Are you interested in any sporting activities?
The only thing I do today is play golf, and I'm very poor. I used to have a 17 handicap. Today I have a 29. I know where the ball's supposed to go, but at 85, I just can't hit it where it's supposed to go.
Do you attend any sporting events?
Which ones don't I miss? That's the deal. Yeah. I go to all of them. The football game, I'm very active at U of L football, U of L basketball, the Jewish Community Center sports, the Louisville baseball, Redbirds. Now that we got hockey in Louisville, I'm getting ready to go see a hockey game. Haven't seen the hockey team when it was here 10 years ago and going down there then at the Armory.
Do you ever go to a horse race?
That's one of my vices. My buddy, Dr. Gerald Marks, M-A-R-X, and I, we go to Keeneland, we go to Turfway, we go to Ellis Park, we go to Churchill Downs. We are habitués of the racetrack and are known by all the people on the front side and the back side. But we go there and we bet very smart and we don't lose lots of money, although we don't win anything.
Have you been to Israel, Merle?
I've been to Israel 3 or 4 times. My first time I went there was in 1970, right after the war. I went over with the group of 5 fellows here from Louisville, Lewis Cole, Sam Fishman, Bernard Berman, Waldron, and myself. We were there for 8 days. We visited the front, flew around in the Sidley English airplanes, the Sidleys. They were 50 years old, and we flew around in Israel. We visited all around, and we stayed at the Hilton Hotel there in Jerusalem. We had a wonderful time, saw all the sights, and I really enjoyed it. And I went back the second and third time. It's a wonderful place to go if you've never been.
Did you ever go with your, did Toby ever go with you?
Toby never went. The only trip Toby ever took was to Italy and England and France in the earlier days, right before we got married, and I used to get letters from her there. During the right before the Six-Day War, a group of us made a trip to England, France, and Italy, where we spent 10 days. While we were in Paris, staying at the Continental Hotel, we came down on the elevator one day, and there was a Jewish fellow operating the elevator, and he says to me, "Israel's at war." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "War has been declared," and that was the first thing that we knew about it, that war had been declared. We found out in Paris.
Oh, how did you find, could you speak French? Did you understand?
This fellow, we spoke Jewish. That's how we knew. We were, me was a guttural Jewish, and he with his Jewishness, we got together and did very well. There's an old adage, the Jewish people who pray together, stay together. And that's what I try to do to get my family, and I've been very successful. We all get together on the holidays. We get together on Friday nights, and that's what's keeping us going.
That's beautiful. I mean, do you spend the time with your children on Friday nights?
On Friday night, it's a rule. All my family have to be together. We eat together and we pray together. And it's been very successful over the years. Even the younger ones like it. The grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, the son-in-laws, the daughters, my wife and I, everybody loves to be together on Friday night. We have a regular Jewish meal.
Thank you again, Merle. It's really been great. You have done so much for Louisville, and I can tell the pride that you've got in Louisville. It's shining in your eyes all the time, both you and Toby. You have been involved in so many things, and it's an asset to the Louisville community that you are part of it, and I'm so glad that I have known you over the years. Thank you so much.